Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. We jumped right over Wednesday, and we are here on a Thursday morning, a victory Thursday morning. It's been a while since we have seen a San Diego Padres victory. But victories were abound yesterday as the Ben and Woods crew here pulled it off, the Ben and Woods Open. And we will tell you all the funny and interesting stories from that day, certainly. But it's great to be back here with you. That's a lie. I would rather be asleep right now. I think most of us would. I just lied right to your face. We're a little cooked. I'll be completely honest with all of you. We are a little bit cooked and sun-baked, certainly. I'm Woodsy. That is Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie. 100%, man. Ooh, that was, a long one.
Driving in, sitting here for the last hour, like, it's been hard to even keep my eyes open.
It's a tough one. It was a tough morning. And the good news is we have like an 18-hour day ahead of us. So that's fine. We'll get into all of that. Benjamin Higgins maybe has the worst day ahead of him of all of us. He is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning, Benjamin.
Yeah, a little overcooked, I don't think quite describes it. I'm tough, gray, chewy, like all the way well done plus at this point.
But. Yeah, I got that thing that you get when you're out in the sun all day. It's sapped every bit of energy from you.
Kills you.
And it just kills you. And then, you know, chatting with all the tier ones yesterday, number one, I mean, it was amazing. Like, the crowd that came out to Goat Hill Park yesterday, both flights, we had an 8 a.m. shotgun start and then a 1 p.m. shotgun start. It was bananas. Bananas. A great time was had by all. We raised a lot of money for charity, and that's always a good thing. And I did leave there feeling very satiated, you know, very satisfied. Satiated probably because I had a half dozen VG's donuts throughout the day. Yeah, I spaced them out. I'm not a glutton. I started at 6 o'clock in the morning and it went till 6 o'clock at night. So I spaced out the half dozen donuts I ate. When they're there, I'm going to eat them. And they just sat there and I way overshot on the donuts, but I think I put down six
myself. I only had one donut, but that's because I wasn't sitting around the donuts.
Correct.
I spent about 8 to 9 hours on the same tee box.
He's got it. If you're watching on YouTube right now.
I was on Ben's glory hole. Yeah. Paulie made a nice sign with my face and a
just unbelievable
big black circle where my mouth normally would be.
Yep.
And we gave away tons of Chrome Tour golf balls and had a really good time, but I was not around the donuts. So I did have an unbelievable bratwurst from Goat Hill Park. We had some Jersey Mike sandwiches. There was a lot of food to be had.
Yeah, there was.
A lot of beverages to be had from Virgin Beer.
Let's do an alcohol count, because people may be going, oh, you guys had a golf tournament. I bet you got hammered. How much alcohol did you consume yesterday, Paulie?
I had one shot of Fireball with the crew.
As did I. One shot of Fireball all day long.
Benjamin,
that's it.
I had two beers
and
then one shot of Don Julio from one of the groups that was coming through.
Are you an alcoholic?
You have a problem?
Do you have a problem?
I don't think so.
Two beers and a shot of Don Julio.
Yes.
Jeez.
Now I know why Ben was late.
Now I know why you feel like ass right. Look at you. You look like hammered ass right now, dude. Look at you. Yeah, of course. Man, I gotta, you know, obviously we need to shout out a bunch of people. That's boring radio, as we've heard before. Our buddy Daimyo called in and did some shout outs one day.
Shout out SD.
But I do have to shout out Mailman Rob, who's one of our tier ones. This SOB sent me about a week ago, hey, I saw this on Twitter. This would be fun for the Ben Woods Open. And it was called the Heckle Hole. And I went, well, we already have a glory hole. Might as well have a heckle hole. So on the 10th tee box, chairs were set up, and people, you had the ability to heckle there. It wasn't, we weren't going to have hecklers there like that we planted, or wasn't going to be me all day. But if you wanted to heckle somebody, that was the hole. Morning flight kind of went off without a hitch. I started on a couple holes and whatever. We had work to do. Boy, by the afternoon, all the people that played in the morning that were hammered came over to the heckle hole to heckle all the people that teed off in the afternoon. It was unreal. So thank you, Mailman Rob, for your idea. Also, thank you, Mailman Rob, for being basically like the mailman Jeffrey Ross. Like, he had the best insults I've ever heard in my life. And I thought to myself, if we ever do a Ben and Woods roast, which is definitely in the cards, you're in it. Like, you are 100% in it. You're a featured performer. And he's a mailman for a living. And I'm like, I think you missed your calling. There was a guy that played. So there's one guy in all, he had a green shirt on. He had green shoes on. So as he was walking up, Mailman Rob goes, "You look like a John Deere." And I was like, it laid me out. It laid me out. Then a guy comes up in a yellow collared shirt. And he's like, "Hey, did you just win the Tour de France?" And I was done. I mean, he was roasting these dudes yesterday. It was so much fun. Just a great, great day. So great job, Mailman Rob. It was amazing.
The best moment for me, the heckle hole, the 10th tee also overlooked the 9th green, which was Ben's glory hole. Best shot of the day was the group that hit it to about 3.5 feet. But as they missed their first putt, the hecklers started noticing. And as they chanted, "Rory, Rory," they proceeded to each miss the same putt.
Oh, they were
four
so
times
mad
in a row to not get the birdie. One of them lipped out hard. I could see all the way from the tee box.
He was so mad.
How hard it lipped out. And they did not, they had the best shot of the day, four chances at a short birdie putt, and all of them pulled the Rory McIlroy as the Rory chants were echoing throughout Gold Hill Park. People thought it sounded like a Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Down, they could hear it, you know, five holes away, people chanting and screaming.
It was incredible. Everyone was really on their best behavior. I mean, we did have one cart flip. Somebody did roll their cart. Now, they're okay. They're fine. The cart's okay. And it wasn't like a drunken, like, woo, down a hill. He was taking a turn, and it hit the railroad tie, which, bro, it's tight there. It's really tight.
That's the dirt path, so there's a little sliding there. I've slid on that path as well.
So it flipped. So that was. I'm glad everyone's okay. I'm really glad the cart's all right. The layout, yeah, God knows.
They're new. They're nice.
Yeah. So I was. We haven't gotten a bill or anything yet. Still may be to come. But it didn't happen yet. But honestly, everyone was on their best behavior. We had such a great time. And, look, people were asking me yesterday, when's the next one? I go, if you bring it up to, don't bring it up to me today. Ask me in a couple weeks. But it was a really good time. But I am fried. I mean, I'm just as cooked to the core as I can be. Got home last night, jumped right in the shower. The boys were pretty wiped yesterday. They were busy. And then I was asleep by 8 o'clock. I mean, I just passed out, was done, dead to the world. Pretty cool moment yesterday, though. In between flights, watching the end of the Padre game, you had the people that teed off at 8, the people that were getting ready to tee off at 1, and the whole crew is just huddled around the TV watching the end of the baseball game. Padres do win that game, and the place goes crazy. This town, you know, again, we've said it a billion times, this town deserves a winner, straight up. They deserve a winner. People are into it. A lot of people wanted to talk Padres baseball with us yesterday. It was awesome, man. My heart is very full after getting to spend a day with you guys who both crushed it yesterday. And thanks to Adam Klug, our boss. Now, we did this tournament on our own. This was a DIY event for us. And Adam came out and really gave us a lot of good man hours yesterday and couldn't have done it without him. One of our sales girls, Carly, brought Better Buzz Coffee out for everyone. That was really special. So we do appreciate that. But today's a huge day for the Ben and Woods program. So we're going to do the four-hour radio show. And then after, we're going to do the round table. Ben and I will. And then after the round table, we're going to kill about 2:45, right?
Correct.
And then our CEO is coming to town. And I'd just like to, he's going to do like the town hall meeting. So we're looking down the barrel of at least an hour. I would say at least an hour at a bare minimum. And I would like to put this out there for anyone that's going to be in that meeting. And I know that's a small window of people who may be listening. If you ask one superfluous question, I'm going to beat you down.
What's a superfluous question?
Any question.
Well,
any.
There sometimes there has to be one or two, or no. It gets awkward if there's just like none at all.
There doesn't.
You don't think so?
No.
It's like one or two quick ones just to kind of, all right, everyone feels good about it and we can actually leave.
No. No. And the biggest offender, I found out this morning, is in Nashville. So he's out of town. Now, the last meeting we did, he was the
probably
offender.
A 20-minute meeting.
Yeah,
that it got
went
extended
an hour.
About an hour.
Hey, can you just go over again the the Q3 numbers again? Bro, shut up. Shut up.
Get slides later.
Grab him after the meeting and pull him aside. Mm. If you ask a question today, you're dead. You're dead. There's nothing you need to know.
I don't care if we all get fired and he tells us that he killed every one of our dogs. All right.
Don't ask a question.
I have no questions.
Can I leave now? Here's my key card. Don't ask any questions today. That goes for you, Ben. Goes for you, Paul. Goes for me, myself.
But I have a couple of questions.
Do not ask one question.
They're probably not good questions. I want to know, where does the CEO stay when he comes to town? Is he at the Hilton Garden Inn down the street, or do they put him up somewhere really nice? Is he at
I would imagine a CEO.
The Grand Del Mar or something? Where does the CEO get to stay when he visits our station?
I'm telling you, man. Everybody that has ever worked in an office, ever, has that person in that meeting that is just the kiss-ass.
How much do you make, actually?
Once. What was your bonus? Hey, did you? Oh, that's right. You don't actually get ratings. Okay. What was your bonus last year? That's an interesting question. If you have the balls to ask that question, I won't beat you down for that. But I just think, you know, for, oh, yeah, per diem question. What is your per diem?
Oh, wow, yeah.
What, about $3,000? You're a CEO? And I always think, what if I was a CEO? CEOs, I'm never going to say they get a bad rap, but, you know, they're the ones, they get roasted because it all comes out.
Michelin star restaurants
Yeah. And it all comes out down the road. If I'm a CEO, you know what? I'm like, hey, man, I've worked really hard to be a CEO, but I also like to think that I would be a very generous CEO as well. There was a company I saw in Japan recently. It was like a Japanese airline, and they made a ton of money last year, a ton. And the CEO gave out massive bonuses. And I was like, that's what I like to think that I would do. Like, take care. Because, again, those people are now stoked to come and work for you. The more you give, the more you get. That's how I've always looked at it. So I'm interested in seeing what he has to say, but not so interested that I have to pepper him with questions just so that he's like, no, I like that guy. Like, I'm already doing my job here on the Ben and Woods Show. My job, I'm doing it. We're doing it well. Don't ask any questions. I'm begging you guys at this meeting today. So the vending machine, yeah, Wesley, you're right. How can we get a better vending machine in the break room?
I don't know if that's a CEO topic, really.
Hey, we already are.
Okay. Yeah, I think we are already. But no, so it's going to be a long day. Now, you got to go work Channel 10.
Yeah, then I got to go work tonight as well. So I've got the 17, 18-hour day.
I love you.
All the way through.
I love you, and I'm sorry.
Then tomorrow morning, I'll be here. We'll talk to Mike Schilt, and then I'm going to crash Friday.
For like 6 hours.
Rest of the day, crash.
Please do nothing after the show. Right. Don't play golf.
No, I'm not playing golf tomorrow.
Go home,
I'm
get in bed.
I'm crashing tomorrow.
Okay. Just get a sandwich and go home and cuddle up next to it and just get some rest. Yeah, man, so the we had a great day. And thanks for, if you came out yesterday, we really appreciate it, man. It was, I do see people that were there in the chat right now. So nobody, I didn't see anybody out of control. I didn't see anybody acting a fool. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm just really appreciative of the support that our show has gotten.
The sentiment was, bring it back to Goat Hill again next year.
Yeah.
And at least from when I spoke with John Ashworth, the caretaker at Goat Hill, I think he would love that if we came back again next year.
It was awesome.
It was a really, really great day. So thank you to everyone who helped out.
It was awesome. I'm trying to think if there's any stories that we had to share that were good. We did blow the first prize.
We announced the winner of the first flight.
And then miraculously.
Bro, it was like the Oscars a few years ago when they said, Moonlight has won Best Picture. They start walking up on stage. Actually
no.
We're just kidding.
We had already handed out the cups and the trophies, and we had to actually physically take them away.
Yeah.
from Andy Perino's team.
Andy, I'm so sorry if you're listening. You're probably not. You're probably listening to a competitor right now because of what happened to you yesterday. I'm sorry. I love you. But yeah, I mean, we got all the cards in. We thought, and we announced the winner. The guy, and then of course,
11 under.
Wait. I'm like, well, where's your card? You got to turn your card in. Hang on.
It took them 5 minutes.
5 minutes to go get it. They brought it back. I'm like, oh, no. All right, well, actually, here, you're the winner. And then they got mad because people were yelling, Bullish! And I'm like, oh, God, here we go.
Pretty much just like every other scramble that's ever been played before.
No one has ever believed your scramble score.
Ever.
And they never will. You might as well just cheat and go for it.
I was in one where the winning score was 20 under. I'm going, so you birdied every hole except the two that you eagled. Fantastic.
You were in the scramble?
Yes.
You weren't in the foursome,
I wasn't
though.
In that foursome. 20 what, under.
What, you got to shoot like 20? Like 14?
I mean, it wasn't
something.
The hard course. Yeah, we were around 14. Like, you didn't make one mistake all day long.
We all four had the round of our lives. Yeah. Go figure. Made every putt. Well, listen, man. It was a great day. I'm very appreciative of the tier ones out there and all the support that we get. And even if you didn't come yesterday, you're in the chat right now. You support this radio show. Can't thank you enough. So big day for us. Ben will set the menu next. And I'll ask just one small favor. Just be a little gentle with your old pals, Ben and Woods and Paulie today.
Set the menu. And I believe since it's we were off yesterday, we're going to find Jesse's Incorporator from Tuesday. Kanji. Oh, yeah.
He did it.
A rice porridge and how he worked that into Tuesday's game against the Phillies. We'll do that when we come back on a Thursday morning. Glad that we made it and glad that you've made it as well with Ben and Woods. Let's check traffic right now on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anytime you take a day off, you got to catch up on all the things you missed. Yesterday, when we were doing our golf tournament and everyone had the day off here at Odyssey, including paying off our incorporator. So let's get right to that here early this morning with Ben and Woods. On Tuesday, we had Jesse Aguilar, the voice of the Padres, on, as he does each and every Tuesday. We give him a different vocabulary word to work into the broadcast. Here's what we set him up for this week. So what I want to do is I want to go back to our roots, and our very first incorporator word was a food word.
Yeah, mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
So we're going back to our roots with a food word.
Mustard.
For tonight's, no, it's not exactly a condiment.
Relish.
It's a little tougher.
Relish.
It's a little tougher than that. Paulie, if you would, please.
Cracker Jack.
Kanji.
Kanji?
Kanji.
What is that?
Kanji. It's a form of savory rice porridge that you get by boiling rice in a large amount of water until the rice softens. Ooh. It's often served Asia, you know, like China is the breakfast food.
It's
with
a bowl
like
of
condiments.
Rice.
It's a bowl of very wet, mushy rice. Kanji.
Okay. So good. Kanji.
Yeah. Paulie knows this because he goes to Vegas a lot. If you look on the room service menus, because they have a large Asian clientele, you always see kanji on the breakfast menu.
Do you? I've never noticed.
For room service in big
hotels. I knew it was familiar when you said that word. I didn't know exactly what it was.
I've never ordered it. I've always been kind of curious. Like, okay, you can get it with like pickled herring and meat for breakfast. I'm like, that does not sound good. I want French toast, not...
The taste of pickled fish and rice sounds as good as it does
sound. Seaweed in there.
I'm going to go with a couple eggs over medium.
Yeah, not
bacon,
my breakfast choice.
Orange juice, coffee, and some
French
toast.
In other parts of the world, a very common breakfast item. Now, how does Jesse get that into Tuesday night's game against the Phillies?
Late on Tuesday night.
I get the sense he's over the incorporator.
Maybe.
He skipped the last one and waited until the ninth.
Yeah, top of the ninth inning.
And Cronenworth swings and misses at a ball in the dirt, strike three. So one out in the top of the ninth inning. We got a guy out there with an 0.89 ERA out of the bullpen. I imagine as a hitter, if you just turn your brain into a kanji as you try to figure out what he's going to do. Profar will get into the left-handed batter's box. One out and nobody on.
Yep. He didn't do the literal version.
No.
He did like the metaphorical version of it. That's brilliant.
Like a wet, mushy mess when you got to face a tough reliever.
One might say that you have three kanji heads sitting in here this morning.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, at that time, they were winning that game on Tuesday in the top of the ninth inning.
That's right.
Didn't turn out so well for your San Diego Padres.
Now we have to do like the recap of that game as well.
We do.
It was ugly. It was terrible.
We will do both games. We'll have our Padres wrap up from yesterday's win, obviously coming up here at the bottom of the hour. And then in our 7 o'clock hour, we will tell you a little bit because it happened while we were gone, but you've probably seen it by now. The John Boy video of Mike Schilt's getting ejected or more or less politely asking to be ejected after Manny got tossed from Sunday's game against the New York Mets. A lot of people talking about, you know, the cynicism a little bit of asking to be ejected and not necessarily losing your mind at the umpire, but just, you know, perfunctorily going and getting ejected from the game because you felt like you had to.
Every day that we get to cover Mike Schilt, the more and more he reminds me of you. Every day. He is Country Ben. He's Country Ben.
That's how I would be ejected in a game. If I had to be ejected, I would go up there.
Country Ben.
Very politely, very respectfully. But
I respect you.
I respect you, but I need to be ejected here.
Please eject me.
The umpire really wasn't necessarily into it. He felt like you need to do something to be ejected.
Come on,
you gave
him like four chances.
I'd not be doing my job correctly if I simply ejected you for being polite. You're not doing anything wrong. I shouldn't eject you for that. You need to give me something to work with here.
It is interesting, and we will talk about it. I get a lot. If something happens in either baseball, but especially the with the Padres, I get reams of DMs about it. Like, I haven't seen it, number one, and I have. So, again, if you feel like, I think Woodsy would like this, the chances are about 99%. I've seen it already. Doesn't mean I don't want you to send it to me. Lie. It's the second lie of the day. I've seen it. I think this is number one in the 6 years we've been together. That's the number one thing I was DM'd on Twitter and Instagram the most. And I would say in the dozens of people sent. Did you see this? Yeah. Wow, I can't wait to hear you guys talk about it.
That's not even the what did you think about this? It's did you see it?
Yeah, did you see this? Yeah, of course. Of course I saw it. It's everywhere. And
everywhere of most Padre related things that are going on.
Yeah, man. So there people I'm interested to talk about it because I reached out to people and I wanted to get what they thought. And people solicited, gave me their opinions on it as well. It was interesting. It's an interesting thing that he did. I will say, just before we do it at 7, I've seen it before. I've seen this bit before. And it is a bit, straight up. So we will talk about it. It's interesting. We can take your calls on it. Sorry, Brandon says, I feel cliche for sending it to you. No, you're not the only one, Brandon. You're good. Keep them coming.
It's a real or fake Thursday, a chance to qualify for the trip to the Fontainebleau Las Vegas, where I'd imagine you can order congee off the room service breakfast menu. We'll do that at 7:10. Don't do this at 7:20. At 7:35, we'll have our Wednesday guest, Adam Jones, join us. And I know Adam was talking about Willie Mays on his podcast this week. That obviously happened on Tuesday. Giant story in the world of baseball that we need to get to. And well, in our 8:35 segment, we'll have our regular Thursday guest, Eno Saris from The Athletic.
Yes.
Weekly Smart Baseball brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, which we always love. Rindle Report at 9 o'clock. We have more Doobie Brothers tickets to give away. Let's play the sounder for your chance to win Doobie Brothers tickets.
Give one second.
You will have an opportunity to win if you call 833-288-0973 when you hear.
Not now, though.
The Doobie Brothers. Not now. This is the tester.
What a fool believes.
There it is. All week long, our Doobie Brothers sounder for a chance to win tickets on the show sometime today. And, of course, get a homestand starting tonight. No day off for your San Diego Padres. They're right back in action against another first place ball club is the Milwaukee Brewers come to town, and we'll look ahead to that series and then lead right into a roundtable for another hour of commercial-free Padres talk at 10 a.m.
Hell yeah.
And then we all collapse for a couple of hours before the CEO arrives for his meeting with the staff.
And the CEO's in town.
Listen.
Is he listening right now?
Oh, boy. I hope not. This is not, David, if you're listening, this is not indicative of what you normally get, all right?
I just thought about that.
We just did a golf tournament yesterday.
He's in town. He's listening. He's going to sample all of the Odyssey stations.
Maybe
he's listening to John and Tammy right now.
I hope so. I hope so. I really do. I really, really hope he is. So sorry.
All right, we'll get to our Padres wrap-up. We got highlights from yesterday's. It was nice to at least get one on the road trip. We will talk about it coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We can We can hang the didn't get swept banner this morning. I got one.
Does Adam have to eat any didn't get swept beans this morning or anything?
I think the bean bit's done.
You had beans yesterday at the golf tournament. They never even got brought out.
Forgot to break them out. I spilled them early, and I looked at them, and I go, I don't want this. And just threw them away. It's like $20 down the drain. Don't care.
Miss a green, eat a bean never happened.
Thank God, because I didn't want to see anybody throw up out there.
Fair enough.
But we did not get swept, so we will hang the we did not get swept banner today.
Well, only got swept once on the road trip banner.
Right. Didn't get swept in the second series of a very awful road trip banner. I've got one of those, so I'm going to have to dig that one out. But, 1-5 on a road trip. It's not ideal. It's not ideal at all, but it's... I guess it's better than 0-6.
It wasn't the Phillies. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Phillies on the road,
right?
Not a crime at all. It was the Mets series. That was the problem, obviously.
It was nice to get one in the House of Horrors.
Bro, you win 2 out of 3 against the Mets like you should.
Yes.
You go 3-3, nobody's mad 100%.
Coming home 500 on that is like, all right, very good.
Especially if you drop 2 out of 3 to Philly, we get it. On the road.
Of course.
You also
should have won.
Should have won two.
You actually could have won 2 of them.
Yep, no doubt.
Yeah, and you know, the Mets were in a streak where they won 7 in a row until yesterday it finally ended. So maybe one of those situations where running into the wrong team at the wrong time. However, now they just got to pick up the pieces as they come home to face the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair now through July 7th. The magic of the Midway live concerts and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets now online. Learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. We'll have our Padres wrap-up highlights from yesterday's 5-2 win over the Phillies right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
This one hit in the air to right field, straight away and deep. Castellanos is back at the wall. He's looking up, going to go. Home run, Jackson Merrill. Got him in the air again, and this is home run number 8 for the Padres center fielder. Odds take a 1-0 lead here in the second. Here's Bryce Harper with 2 outs, nobody on in the bottom of the third. Swings to the first pitch, sends it in the air to left field and deep. Profar's back at the wall. He will watch. It will go. Home run, Bryce Harper, and a 1-1 game here in the third inning. 1-2 to Arise. Swung on, lined into right field, and down for a base hit. Merrill has scored. Wade's on his way to third, and Luis Arise has given the Padres the lead. An RBI single here in the seventh inning. It's 2-1. 2-2 to Schwarber. Waldron deals, and a swing and a miss. Strike 3. Matt Waldron, a 1-2-3 seventh inning. His 6th strikeout of the day, and we'll head to the 8th in Philadelphia. A 1 pitch kind of served into shallow center field. Marsh is charging, dives forward, can't make the catch, and it gets behind him. Azokar and Machado have scored. Kim is on his way. Higashioka into third with a 3-run hit, and the Padres lead it 5-1 here in the 8th. Harper swings, hits it in the air, deep down the right field line, hooking towards the pole. That is a fair ball and a home run. Bryce Harper's 2nd of the day. Don't go anywhere. It's now 5-2. 2-2, the pitch. Dahl swings, hits a slow roller to the right side. Wade has got it, slings it to first in time. A 1-2-3, bottom of the ninth for Robert Suarez, and the ball game is over. Padres snap the skid at 5 games. They beat the Phillies here this afternoon 5-2, and the long flight home to San Diego tonight will be...
Really nice, especially the rebound. It's nice for a lot of reasons. I mean, clearly, you know, we haven't been able to shake hands as much as we like on this road trip. Then last night, you know, scratch and call and good back and forth ball game, grab a lead. You know, they got a good club, clearly, you know, maybe the best club in baseball. And, you know, they came back and we had a quick turnaround after a tough one last night. And I just loved the fact from the very first at bat. I mean,
course, they go out and make a nice play in center, but, you know, Louis Boone hits a rope to center, and guys are taking good at-bats all over the park, and you just know they're going to fight. And that's the, you know, got asked the other day about, you know, my confidence level in this club, and it's high because of the character of the club and the way they compete. So, but that being said, it's a result league, and today we were able to figure out a way to be consistent and get the results at the very end of the game.
Padres get that win. The moment when Kyle Higashioka hit the three-run bases-clearing triple, we were all right there at the watching on TV at Goat Hill Park, and everyone just went crazy.
It was awesome.
It looked like Marsh might catch it there. Yeah. It was very close, and when it got by, everyone had, I think it was more of a big sigh of relief. In addition to the excitement of scoring all the runs, like, all right, a little bit of a cushion after what happened, obviously, on Tuesday in Game 2 of the series. You didn't necessarily want to see a one-run lead going into the last two innings against this Phillies lineup, and they did, of course, get another Bryce Harper home run off Jeremiah Estrada. But this time it wasn't enough, and it was good to see Robert Suarez go back and get a save one day after blowing his first save of the year, even if it was just one of those, you know, up-by-three saves that aren't quite as valuable as the one-run.
Boy, those versions. Count. No, they count. You're able to scratch out a win on the road against, again, one of the best pitchers in baseball in Ranger Suarez. I mean, you want to talk about a game going into it. You've lost two straight, and you go, all right, Ranger Suarez on the bump. He's lost one time this season. His ERA is minuscule. This is not going to end well for our San Diego Padres. And when the Phillies loaded the bases, you just thought, that's it. All right, this is going to be a very quick one. Pods are going to roll over for this one. Matt Waldron gets out of it. Then Jackson Merrill, another home run off a really tough left-handed pitcher. Yeah, man, it was pretty special. And listen, just one win, it does not mean much in the grand scheme of things, but it's sure better than losing every stinking game on a road trip. And big hit for Higgy, which I loved. Little concerned about Jeremiah Estrada. Has not been great lately, giving up the long ball, Benny. ERA has kind of ballooned up for him. Last seven outings, he's got an ERA over 11. You know,
ever since he got sick,
that's exactly
right. He's been a different pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it has anything to do with that, but he was great. He was perfect essentially before he got sick, and now he's struggled since his illness.
But I mean, let's call it what it is. Matt Waldron, we are a dead man. We are dead men walking without Matt Waldron on this team. If you had told me the first guy to throw five straight quality starts in 2024, you have to bet good money on it. It wouldn't have been him. Would not have been him. And that's exactly what he's done. He has been outstanding this year, Ben. Seven innings, five hits, one earned, two walks, six Ks for Matty Waldron. The player to be named later in the Mike Clevenger deal. What a great find.
Couple of fascinating nuggets on Waldron from the game yesterday. Did you see the video where the Phillies were signaling from second base when a knuckleball was coming?
Throwing their arm out. Yeah.
It was pretty clear what they were doing after it was pointed out on social media that when they had a runner at second, the guy could see enough of into the glove of his grip that he would put his arm out and, you know, hold it straight to the side if a knuckleball was coming. So, and if he didn't, then it would be one of his other pitches. Obviously, it could be a fastball, you know, a four-seamer, or it could be the sweeper or something. But the Phillies, when there was a runner at second, they knew when a knuckleball was coming, and they still couldn't hit it. That's how good that pitch has become for Matt Waldron. There was a video this week that came out from Jazz Chisholm, who, of course, faced Waldron when the Miami Marlins were in town, and he said, it's the best pitch in baseball right now. It's the hardest pitch to hit in baseball. You have no idea what to do as a batter when you're up there and that knuckleball is coming. And I've got to imagine that these details filter their way to Matt Waldron and have to just instill him with a great deal of confidence. He should already have a ton of it, but to know what major leaguers think about your pitch and that they're talking about it with reverence at this point, going, it's as hard a pitch that there is to hit in baseball. All the nasty stuff out there right now, and Waldron's knuckler is in there with the best pitches in baseball at the moment.
Here's Jazz Chisholm. If you missed it, it's quick. It's so funny.
I just faced this man named Waldron, and he threw a knuckleball. Brother, come on. Listen.
What was that knuckleball like, though?
Oh, deadly. I tell you, that's probably the best pitch I've ever seen in baseball.
Legit. Wow.
His knuckle?
Ever.
Ever.
I've never hit. It's going everywhere. Go that way, that way, that way. We were losing, and I came back to the dugout and I said, bro, I can't be mad. This thing is going everywhere. It was a good pitch.
You just got to tip your cap.
Yeah, you got that one.
It's nice that other teams have to tip their caps to the Padres sometimes. I remember Jazz in that series against Matt Walter and how absolutely lost.
Flummoxed by
it. He looked. But Matt Waldron has been absolutely terrific this year. And if he can keep it going, they need it because the pitching remains very thin. Yu Darvish did have his rehab start yesterday. He gave up a bunch of like 6 runs, but he felt good coming out of it and said he's ready to come back. So I imagine we will see Yu Darvish now in the second half of this homestand back in the Padres rotation. They'll need him to pitch like he was before he went on the injured list because it just hasn't been going well for the bottom couple of spots in the rotation with Randy Vasquez and Adam Azer, who gets at least one more start tonight against the Milwaukee Brewers Woods. And got to feel like, cross your fingers, because it hasn't gone well the last couple of starts.
You got to feel like for him, he could go out and shove tonight and go 6 scoreless. He's probably still not, he's probably going down with you coming back. I mean, that's the move. Yeah. I mean, it's so. Go out there, let it eat tonight. Let it all hang out, and you know, it, basically what you're doing with most rookie pitchers.
It's almost freeing to know, no matter what I do, I'm going probably out of the minors
I'm
again.
Out of here. So, yeah. Yeah, go out there and shove, and something to build on. You got some big league starts under your belt. One of them went pretty well, the other ones didn't. But, you know, for Major tonight, it's just, don't walk these guys. If they beat you, they beat you. Like, if they hit you, they hit you. You can't walk 6 guys tonight and pray for a
challenge
double play.
Challenge them a little bit. You don't have to lay them in there, but challenge.
Challenge them. Like, do not give them any measure. That's if I'm the Abler, that's the first. Bro, you're going down. You know you're going down. We need you to go out there and shove tonight. Do as best as you can. But don't give up any freebies to these guys. If they pound you, they pound you. It's going to happen. You know, you're taking your lumps at the big league level. But yeah, man, it'll be nice to have you back. You tweeted last night, and I couldn't agree more with you, Ben. The spread that Yu Darvish provided to the minor
leaguers.
The
spread is the food spread, not as the odds on the game. The spread.
Correct.
The post-game spread.
The post-game spread. I love the bit so much. It's one of my favorite parts about baseball. Star, wealthy player, has to go out and work some stuff out in the minors, whatever, rehab start, and takes care of the kids down there. Those kids will never forget. And many of those kids that play in Fort Wayne, they'll never sniff the big leagues. But they got to hang out with Yu Darvish and eat the food that he provided way better than the post-game spread.
That was
they
a nice. They had a bunch of different stuff. I saw some salmon and asparagus for the healthy eaters.
Mac and cheese.
There was also some mac and cheese for the little
Ben
treats.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. So, I should put
dessert,
in
little
category.
Mini cakes for dessert. It was nice. It was very nicely catered by Yu Darvish for the Fort Wayne Tin Cats.
I love that bit. I love it. I think it's such a good thing that they do. I heard some stories about when A-Rod got sent down. He bought all the guys like new suits, like a couple of the players like new suits and stuff, takes them all out to dinner. I love that. I think it's so great. There's no, we don't have that in radio. Like we're sending Woodsy down to Wichita for a week. He's got to get his pipes back. And I go in, I get the guys like all new headphones and stuff. Like radio, the, you know, send you down to the minors a little bit.
We're talking Wichita Shockers basketball here today. I'm Woods, down for a day or two, getting on a rehab assignment.
Fixing my pipes up. I got, you know, new headphones for all the guys, and it's great, great. I think it's a really good bit. I don't want to get sent down, but if I need to get better, I will. But I'll make sure to take care of the youngsters out there in Wichita.
Speaking of rehab, has there been an update on Joe Musgrove in like the last week, 2 weeks?
He was supposed to be throwing on the back half of this road trip, just to kind of see where he's at, but I have not heard.
The less
how it
I
went.
Hear about him, the more nervous I get.
Then again, maybe hearing about things would be the bad news at this point, that he's getting surgery, and we have not heard anything like that. So we'll maybe find out more today when the Padres come back. Just quickly, because we were not here yesterday, I wanted to mention Tuesday's game, which for most of the game I felt like was one of the better Padres games of the season. Going up against Aaron Nola, a guy who has always dominated the Padres and who took a perfect game into the fifth inning. His knuckle curve was nasty.
Nasty, man.
Michael King, who only went 4 2/3 innings, but he battled through 100 pitches to keep the Padres in that game against an ace pitcher. And then Luis Camposano, after getting hit in a very sensitive area a couple innings before, hits the 2-run go-ahead home run. Padres are up 3-1 going to the eighth. Kyle Schwarber hits the 1 home run, so it's 3-2. But you got Robert Suarez coming in. He's been absolutely perfect all season long and gives up 4 hits as quickly as you can even imagine.
I mean
boom,
blinked.
Boom, 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 and the game was over.
You blinked. I was at Frozen Ropes with Bo for his first Frozen Ropes practice, and I'm watching on my phone. And I looked away for, Ben, I looked away for maybe, Bo was in the cage. He had five swings. And I looked down, and it was first and third, just like that. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? And the next thing you know, within a minute and a half after that, game's over.
It's hard to even be mad. Robert Suarez has been so good.
Hall
of Famers will blow a couple of saves every single year. It was going to happen.
You said it literally like, I'm not kidding. You said it like 6 weeks ago. That first Bob Suarez blown save is really going to hurt. He hasn't done it till the other night, and it did. It stung, especially there where, you know. We can hang the didn't get swept banner this morning. I got one.
Does Adam have to eat any didn't get swept beans this morning or anything?
I think the bean bit's done.
You had beans yesterday at the golf tournament. They never even got brought out.
Forgot to break them out. I spilled them early, and I looked at them, and I go, I don't want this. And just threw them away. It's like $20 down the drain. Don't care.
Miss a green, eat a bean never happened.
Thank God, because I didn't want to see anybody throw up out there.
Fair enough.
But we did not get swept, so we will hang the we did not get swept banner today.
Well, only got swept once on the road trip banner.
Right. Didn't get swept in the second series of a very awful road trip banner. I've got one of those, so I'm going to have to dig that one out. But, 1-5 on a road trip. It's not ideal. It's not ideal at all, but it's... I guess it's better than 0-6.
It wasn't the Phillies. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Phillies on the road.
Right.
Not a crime at all. It was the Mets series. That was the problem, obviously.
It was nice to get one in the House of Horrors.
Bro, you win 2 out of 3 against the Mets like you should.
Yes.
You go 3-3, nobody's mad
100%. Coming home 500 on that is like, all right, very good.
Especially if you drop 2 out of 3 to Philly, we get it. On the road.
Of course.
You also
should have won.
Should have won two.
Actually could have won two of them.
Yep, no doubt.
Yeah, and then the Mets were in a streak where they, won 7 in a row until yesterday it finally ended. So maybe one of those situations where running into the wrong team at the wrong time. However, now they just got to pick up the pieces as they come home to face the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair now through July 7th. The magic of the Midway live concerts and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets now online. Learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. We'll have our Padres wrap-up highlights from yesterday's 5-2 win over the Phillies right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
This one hit in the air to right field, straight away and deep. Castellanos is back at the wall. He's looking up, going to go. Home run, Jackson Merrill. Got him in the air again, and this is home run number 8 for the Padres center fielder. Odds take a 1-0 lead here in the second. Here's Bryce Harper with 2 outs, nobody on in the bottom of the third. Swings to the first pitch, sends it in the air to left field and deep. Profar's back at the wall. He will watch. It will go. Home run, Bryce Harper, and a 1-1 game here in the third inning. 1-2 to Arise. Swung on, lined into right field, and down for a base hit. Merrill has scored. Wade's on his way to third, and Luis Arise has given the Padres the lead. An RBI single here in the seventh inning. It's 2-1. 2-2 to Schwarber. Waldron deals, and a swing and a miss. Strike 3. Matt Waldron, a 1-2-3 seventh inning. His 6th strikeout of the day, and we'll head to the 8th in Philadelphia. A 1 pitch kind of served into shallow center field. Marsh is charging, dives forward, can't make the catch, and it gets behind him. Azokar and Machado have scored. Kim is on his way. Higashioka into third with a 3-run hit, and the Padres lead it 5-1 here in the 8th. Harper swings, hits it in the air, deep down the right field line, hooking towards the pole. That is a fair ball and a home run. Bryce Harper's second of the day. Don't go anywhere. It's now 5-2. 2-2, the pitch. Dahl swings. It's a slow roller to the right side. Wade has got it. Slings it to first in time. A 1-2-3 bottom of the ninth for Robert Suarez. And the ball game is over. Padres snap the skid at 5 games. They beat the Phillies here this afternoon 5-2. And the long flight home to San Diego tonight will be...
Really nice, especially the rebound. It's nice for a lot of reasons. I mean, clearly, you know, we haven't been able to shake hands as much as we like on this road trip. Then last night, you know, scratch and call and good back and forth ball game, grab a lead. You know, they got a good club, clearly, you know, maybe the best club in baseball. And, you know, they came back and we had a quick turnaround after a tough one last night. And I just loved the fact from the very first at bat. I mean, of course, they go out and make a nice play in center, but, you know, Louie Boone hits a rope to center and guys are taking good at bats all over the park. And you just know they're going to fight. And that's the, you know, got asked the other day about, you know, my confidence level in this club, and it's high because of the character of the club and the way they compete. So, but that being said, it's a result league. And today we were able to figure out a way to be consistent and get the results at the very end of the game.
Padres get that win. The moment when Kyle Higashioka hit the 3-run bases clearing triple, we were all right there at the watching on TV at Goat Hill Park, and everyone just went crazy.
It was awesome.
It looked like Marsh might catch it there. Yeah. It was very close, and when it got by, everyone had, I think it was more of a big sigh of relief in addition to the excitement of scoring all the runs. Like, all right, a little bit of a cushion after what happened, obviously, on Tuesday in Game 2 of the series. You didn't necessarily want to see a one-run lead going into the last two innings against this Phillies lineup, and they did, of course, get another Bryce Harper home run off Jeremiah Estrada. But this time it wasn't enough, and it was good to see Robert Suarez go back and get a save one day after blowing his first save of the year, even if it was just one of those, you know, up-by-three saves that aren't quite as valuable as the one-run.
Boy, those
versions.
Count. They count. You're able to scratch out a win on the road against, again, one of the best pitchers in baseball in Ranger Suarez. I mean, you want to talk about a game going into it. You've lost two straight, and you go, all right, Ranger Suarez on the bump. He's lost one time this season. His ERA is minuscule. This is not going to end well for our San Diego Padres. And when the Phillies loaded the bases, you just thought, that's it. All right, this is going to be a very quick one. Pods are going to roll over for this one. Matt Waldron gets out of it. Then Jackson Merrill, another home run off a really tough left-handed pitcher. Yeah, man, it was pretty special. And listen, just one win, it does not mean much in the grand scheme of things, but it's sure better than losing every stinking game on a road trip. And big hit for Higgy, which I loved. Little concerned about Jeremiah Estrada. Has not been great lately, giving up the long ball, Benny. ERA has kind of ballooned up for him. His last 7 outings, he's got an ERA over 11. You know,
ever since he got sick,
that's exactly
right. He's been a different pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it has anything to do with that, but he was great. He was perfect essentially before he got sick, and now he's struggled since his illness.
But I mean, let's call it what it is. Matt Waldron, we are a dead man. We are dead men walking without Matt Waldron on this team. If you had told me the first guy to throw 5 straight quality starts in 2024, you have to bet good money on it. It wouldn't have been him. Would not have been him. And that's exactly what he's done. He has been outstanding this year, Ben. 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned, 2 walks, 6 Ks for Matty Waldron. The player to be named later in the Mike Clevenger deal. What a great find.
Couple of fascinating nuggets on Waldron from the game yesterday. Did you see the video where the Phillies were signaling from second base when a knuckleball was coming?
Throwing their arm out. Yeah.
It was pretty clear what they were doing after it was pointed out on social media that when they had a runner at second, the guy could see enough of into the glove of his grip that he would put his arm out and, you know, hold it straight to the side if a knuckleball was coming. So, and if he didn't, then it would be one of his other pitches. Obviously, it could be a fastball, you know, a four-seamer, or it could be the sweeper or something. But the Phillies, when there was a runner at second, they knew when a knuckleball was coming, and they still couldn't hit it. That's how good that pitch has become for Matt Waldron. There was a video this week that came out from Jazz Chisholm, who, of course, faced Waldron when the Miami Marlins were in town, and he said, it's the best pitch in baseball right now. It's the hardest pitch to hit in baseball. You have no idea what to do as a batter when you're up there and that knuckleball is coming. And I've got to imagine that these details filter their way to Matt Waldron and have to just instill him with a great deal of confidence. He should already have a ton of it, but to know what major leaguers think about your pitch and that they're talking about it with reverence at this point, going, it's as hard a pitch that there is to hit in baseball. All the nasty stuff out there right now, and Waldron's knuckler is in there with the best pitches in baseball at the moment.
Here's Jazz Chisholm. If you missed it, it's quick. It's so funny.
I just faced this man named Waldron, and he threw a knuckleball. Brother, come on. Listen.
What was that knuckleball like, though?
Oh, deadly. I tell you, that's probably the best pitch I've ever seen in baseball.
Legit. Wow.
His knuckle?
Ever.
Ever.
I've never hit. It's going everywhere. Go that way, that way, that way. You're losing? And I came back to the dugout and I said, bro, I can't be mad. This thing is going everywhere. It was a good pitch.
Just got to tip your cap.
Yeah, you got that one.
It's nice that other teams have to tip their caps to the Padres sometimes. I remember Jazz in that series against Matt Waldron and how absolutely lost.
Flummoxed by
it. He looked. No, Matt Waldron has been absolutely terrific this year. And if he can keep it going, they need it because the pitching remains very thin. Yu Darvish did have his rehab start yesterday. He gave up a bunch of like 6 runs, but he felt good coming out of it and said he's ready to come back. So I imagine we will see Yu Darvish now in the second half of this homestand back in the Padres rotation. They'll need him to pitch like he was before he went on the injured list because it just hasn't been going well for the bottom couple of spots in the rotation with Randy Vasquez. And Adam Azer, who gets at least one more start tonight against the Milwaukee Brewers, Woods. And got to feel like, cross your fingers, because it hasn't gone well the last couple of starts.
You got to feel like for him, he could go out and shove tonight and go 6 scoreless. He's probably still not, he's probably going down with you coming back. I mean, that's the move, yeah? I mean, it's so, go out there, let it eat tonight. Let it all hang out and you know, basically what you're doing with most rookie pitchers.
It's almost freeing to know, no matter what I do, I'm going out of the minors again. So,
yeah, go out there and shove, and something to build on. You got some big league starts under your belt. One of them went pretty well, the other ones didn't. But, you know, for Major tonight, it's just, don't walk these guys. If they beat you, they beat you. Like, if they hit you, they hit you. You can't walk 6 guys tonight and pray for a
challenge
double play.
Challenge them a little bit. You don't have to lay them in there, but challenge.
Challenge them. Like, do not give them any measure. That's if I'm the Abloh, that's the first. Bro, you're going down. You know you're going down. We need you to go out there and shove tonight. Do as best as you can. But don't give up any freebies to these guys. If they pound you, they pound you. It's going to happen. You know, you're taking your lumps at the big league level. But yeah, man, it'll be nice to have you back. You tweeted last night, and I couldn't agree more with you, Ben. The spread that Yu Darvish provided to the minor
leaguers.
The
spread is the food spread, odds on the game. The spread.
Correct.
The post-game spread.
The post-game spread. I love the bit so much. It's one of my favorite parts about baseball. Star, wealthy player, has to go out and work some stuff out in the minors, whatever, rehab start, and takes care of the kids down there. Those kids will never forget. And many of those kids that play in Fort Wayne, they'll never sniff the big leagues. But they got to hang out with Yu Darvish and eat the food that he provided, way better than the post-game spread.
That was
a
nice. They had a bunch of different stuff. I saw some salmon and asparagus for the healthy eaters.
Mac and cheese.
There was also some mac and cheese for the little treats. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. So, I should put myself
dessert,
in that
little
category.
Mini cakes for dessert. It was nice. It was very nicely catered by Yu Darvish for the Fort Wayne Tin Cats.
I love that bit. I love it. I think it's such a good thing that they do. I heard some stories about when A-Rod got sent down. He bought all the guys like new suits, like a couple of the players like new suits and stuff, takes them all out to dinner. I love that. I think it's so great. There's no, we don't have that in radio. Like we're sending Woodsy down to Wichita for a week. He's got to get his pipes back. And I go in, I get the guys like all new headphones and stuff. Like radio, the, you know, send you down to the minors a little bit.
We're talking Wichita Shockers basketball here today. I'm Woods, down for a day or two, getting on a rehab assignment.
Fixing my pipes up. I got, you know, new headphones for all the guys, and it's great, great. I think it's a really good bit. I don't want to get sent down, but if I need to get better, I will. But I'll make sure to take care of the youngsters out there in Wichita.
Speaking of rehab, has there been an update on Joe Musgrove in like the last week, 2 weeks?
He was supposed to be throwing on the back half of this road trip, just to kind of see where he's at, but I have not heard
how it went.
The
less I hear about him, the more nervous I get.
Then again, maybe hearing about things would be the bad news at this point, that he's getting surgery, and we have not heard anything like that. So We'll maybe find out more today when the Padres come back. Just quickly, because we were not here yesterday, I wanted to mention Tuesday's game, which for most of the game I felt like was one of the better Padres games of the season. Going up against Aaron Nola, a guy who has always dominated the Padres and who took a perfect game into the fifth inning. His knuckle curve was nasty.
Nasty, man.
Michael King, who only went 4 2/3 innings, but he battled through 100 pitches to keep the Padres in that game against an ace pitcher. And then Luis Camposano, after getting hit in a very sensitive area a couple innings before, hits the two-run go-ahead home run. Padres are up 3-1 going to the eighth. Kyle Schwarber hits the one home run, so it's 3-2. But you got Robert Suarez coming in. He's been absolutely perfect all season long and gives up four hits as quickly as you can even imagine.
I mean
boom,
blinked.
Boom, 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 and the game was over.
You blinked. I was at Frozen Ropes with Bo for his first Frozen Ropes practice, and I'm watching on my phone. And I looked away for, Ben, I looked away for maybe, Bo was in the cage. He had five swings. And I looked down, and it was first and third, just like that. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? And the next thing you know, within, you know, a minute and a half after that, game's over.
It's hard to even be mad. Robert Suarez has been so good.
Hall
of Famers will blow a couple of saves every single year. It was going to happen.
You said it literally like, I'm not kidding. You said it like 6 weeks ago. That first Bob Suarez blown save is really going to hurt. He hasn't done it till the other night, and it did. It stung, especially there where, you know, it's been tough for him. You know, it has. It's been tough for him. And to get that one yesterday, I thought was a good one. But
well, the Phillies obviously are his personal, you know, house of horrors going to Citizens Bank Park.
For sure.
You know, hopefully he'll get another opportunity to go to Citizens Bank Park again this year.
Yep.
The only chance for that to happen, obviously, would be in the postseason, and no one's going to complain if the Padres, even if they're massive underdogs, get another chance to face the Philadelphia Phillies in October this year.
It did sting, man, watching it happen. You nailed it, and it's amazing that you said it 6 weeks ago, and it just took till Tuesday night.
Of course, it was Bryce Harper who's first up in that inning.
Gets a knock. Yep.
Gets the knock that gets it all started. And that was painful. It definitely, coming back and winning yesterday, felt pretty critical for the Padres. You know, still an unsuccessful road trip, but 1-5 is a lot better than 0-6.
Well, not a lot better.
It's a little bit better than 0-6.
Yeah.
Emotionally, it's a lot better than 0-6. All right, we'll come back, talk about Mike Shildt and the lip-reading John Boy feature from Sunday, and play a little Real or Fake next on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.